Welcome to episode 101 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 16th and the 18th of June, 2014.
Yeah, short episode this week because there's no Curry on Friday because of that football that's going on.
What? With some football, is there?
Yeah, there's the World Cup. I have no interest whatsoever in it, but there's an England game on tonight apparently.
Well, that's where I'm going in a minute.
I'm not even going
to
watch it.
They need me to be the main kicker. I think that's what they call it.
So it's Thursday now. I know by the time this is out, we'll know whether England is in or out of the tournament.
You would prefer out, wouldn't you?
Because I don't mind either way.
Yeah, but you need to be more, what's the word? Patriotic and support the country.
Curry is Britain's best soap. That's my patriotism. Curry, that's how I display
it. It's Britain's best export.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's Thursday now. It's very hot day today. It's been boiling. It's like summer. It's very, very nice.
But it is like summer. It's almost like it's summer.
It's almost like it's going to be summer in a few days officially, don't it?
Really? I thought it was summer already.
No, I don't think so.
Bloody hot, isn't it?
It's very hot today. Hot, hot, hot. And I've just moved into a new classroom at school, and that is, I think it's the hottest classroom in the school, so.
Well done. That was nice.
Tiring. Anyway, Curry history, what's been happening this week? Well, 45 years ago was the first appearance of Janet Reid, who long-time watchers will know as being Ken's second wife, and also the first time that Ernest Bishop appeared as a regular character. I think he'd been on it on and off a few times before that as a photographer, but he became a regular 45 years ago this week.
It's been 30 years since Curly was interviewed on Radio Weatherfield about UFO spotting. And he got made fun of.
Yeah, he saw UFOs through his telescope, apparently.
They'll be laughing on the other side of their face when the alien overlords come. Exactly. And Curly is their representative on Earth. 10 years ago, since Dev's doctor told him he had suspected cancer.
Oh,
is that what they say? Shucks. You've got suspected cancer.
I can't remember that storyline happening, but apparently that was happening 10 years ago. I think he's okay.
I think he's all right now. And Norris, Rita, Betty and Blanche held a seance in the cabin to exorcise the ghost of Vera Lomax.
Enlighten news. So there's cancer and there's an exorcism.
Yeah. Well, you can't exorcise someone with a seance.
Vera Lomax was Ina Sharple's daughter who died in the mission hall. I think we talked about her when we did Ina Sharple's as a character profile earlier this year.
I'm an expert in paranormal things. I have to say, these two examples of Coronation Street's dabbling does not show that they understand the field at all. And if they would like a consultation with me, I would be happy.
They just do it for the laughs.
They do, don't they?
Also, today, Thursday, I think, is Thelma Barlow's 85th birthday. Yes, this is right. Thelma, who played Mavis, is celebrating being 85 years young today. So happy birthday to her. So I'm sure she's a regular
happy
listener.
Happy birthday.
Come back to Coronation Street, Thelma. Right, let's get on with this week's street talk now. So we've just had four main storylines this week, and we'll start off with the continuing drama of Blood Orange, Rob versus Peter, basically Rob's trying to avoid suspicion and trying to put the blame onto Peter to save Carla from the chop.
Tisk tisk.
Yeah, feeling violated has been going on as well, with poor little Faye trying to get Anna and Owen back together by cooking them tea yesterday.
She's crap at cooking, so it didn't work.
No, well, didn't even turn up.
No. Beckett beckons. Andrea's little secret finally revealed.
Well, not a shock, because as I said in last week's episode, I knew it was happening. But yeah, at last we find out, because it's been ages, it's been months that we've been suspicious of her. Now we know she's her husband.
What
do we make of that? We'll talk about that third. And then finally, we've got a bit more of the Rodwell incident. We didn't see any more of Michael this week, but we did have Gail writing him a letter. So I thought that we could also call this storyline titled Gail's Pen Pal, because according to Urban Dictionary, pen is a
penitentiary.
Penitentiary, it's short for it. So I think pen pals works quite good for that. I know Urban Dictionary. I'm down.
Yeah,
down
with the kids.
Yeah.
With the youth.
Right. With the crims at the pen.
Okay, let's move on to Blood Orange to start off with, talking of crims.
Yeah, and Anne is trying to organise Tina's funeral, isn't she?
Anne, yeah.
Yeah, but she doesn't know what to say.
She does. She's basically trying to offload all the hard work onto Rita because she says, "Can you please speak at Tina's funeral? I don't really know what to say." Rita's really reluctant about this because she feels guilty about the last time they spoke, and also she doesn't think she'll be able to say the right thing, and she says she might get it wrong and let Tina down again.
I'm not surprised that Anne doesn't know what to say though, because she doesn't even know her daughter.
No.
So, yeah, so I guess Rita is the right one, and Rita was feeling a bit worried about it, but I'm sure she'll do a good job.
Norris convinces her that she's the right person. Carla is still on a meltdown. She comes into the factory and she starts shrieking at everybody to not call her Mrs. Barlow anymore. She wants to be called Mrs. Connor. And the next person that calls her Barlow gets a formal warning.
Yeah, she's right on the edge. What happened on Friday? Was that when she was interviewed? I can't remember.
I think so. I can't remember. But she thinks it's only a matter of time before she's going down.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, over the road, Deirdre is telling Peter to pull himself together because he also thinks that he might be going down for it.
They can't both go down.
Neither of them did it.
British justice.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saying that about Carla and how even if she did do it, it was his fault anyway. And I don't think he really believes that Carla did do it. But yeah, he blames himself even if he's not the one that pushed her over.
Well, she says, look, Deirdre says, pull yourself together. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Deirdre's doing pretty good this week. There's barely even been a... Yeah, she knows all about being in prison. She's been like, it's not so bad.
It's all right. Just get yourself a prison wifey.
Yeah, that's what Deirdre did. She had old Tyrone's mum, didn't she? So Rita bumps into David on the street, doesn't she? And she's like, oh, can you talk as well? And he kind of gets convinced.
He gets tricked into doing it, but he doesn't seem that bothered.
No, we find out later that he's just going to ad-lib it,
yeah.
He says on Wednesday's
speak
episode,
from the heart.
Didn't he? Yeah. So over at the factory, Carlo is still being pretty pessimistic about everything. Rob gets a call, walks off to this guy to make a deal. But Carlo's like saying, no, we're not doing a deal with him. This was the bloke, Mr. Hamlin, was it, I think, that was last week. And she thought that he'd been insensitive about everything that's been going on. So she's like, no, don't want to do it. So she's really kind of not good for the factory at the moment. And Rob and Michelle are trying to subtly try
to get
lost.
They're trying to limit the damage, aren't they? But it's not really working because she won't shut up. So they decide in the end to shut the factory until further notice. And at this point, Carla is too drunk to care because she's gone off shopping with Eva.
Yeah.
And Eva tells Steve later that Carla was crying in the changing rooms.
Yeah, so Carla's at the pub then, isn't she? And she's just anyone that gets in her way, she's just willing to abuse and sort of shout down and have an argument with. So it was Tim in this case, and she also Rita was there as well. And this is where Carla reveals that, well, she says, "I'm not the type to go swimming. I'm not the type to go swinging blunt instruments around young girls." So because we'd been talking, was it last week or the week before, about who knows about the fact that Tina was finished off with the pipe? So it's in the open now because Norris's ears pricked up straight away.
So did Beth.
Yeah, Beth and Sean's tongue started wagging, didn't they? But yeah, anyway. Carla is incredibly drunk. She pours a bottle of wine over Eva's shoes. Did that make you wince?
Only that she bought them in the first place. Because Eva said she was going to take them back because they're not very nice. They were ugly shoes. And now she can't take them back because they're covered in red wine. So Steve escorts Carla out and she goes to Dare's to get some more alcohol, but she can't get served there. She runs into Peter on the street and he takes her back to the flat. And she says, well, you can stay if you go out and get a bottle of vodka.
Yeah, because she's kind of too drunk to notice now, doesn't she? I don't think she wants him to take him back to the flat, but she kind of lets him.
She's going along with anyone. He'll give her alcohol, really. She's kind of a drug addict.
Yeah, so they both basically proceed to get drunk. Do you think Peter was kind of hoping that this would be his chance to get back with her? And
yeah, he's got one-track mind at the moment, hasn't he? He wants to prove himself to Carla, and I think he actually wouldn't mind being found guilty if it meant that Carla would take him back. I think that's his priority.
Yeah.
But obviously she doesn't care one bit for him. She gets drunk with him.
And she snogs him, doesn't she?
Yeah, she kisses him.
But it was kind of to tell him, it was to show him what he'd thrown away. So I think she's still in control more than he'd hoped she would be after all that booze.
Well, she's very horrible to him. She says, "That freak of a daughter is better off dead. I hate you. You should be dead, not Tina." At this point, Rob comes in and kicks Peter out, and is very unimpressed to hear that they kissed each other. But Carla's like, "No, I don't care."
Yeah. She's in control, but
well, she's kind of gone completely off the rails, and this is Rob's chance now to take control of the situation. He tells Carla, "I know what's best for you. Do what I tell you. Peter killed Tina, and I will help you get out. You know, I'll help you sort this out."
Yeah. Well, we know that he's just trying to put the blame squarely on him. Mm-hmm. Because he was the one that done it. Yeah.
So he stays overnight on Wednesday, somehow, for 2 days, with Carla, and again tells her off for being with Peter, and says you need to protect yourself, and that Peter obviously killed Tina. And then later on in Barlow's bars, Rob and Tracy are talking about the whole situation, and both of them are defending their sibling, because Rob thinks it was obviously Peter that did it.
Well, Tracy, he says that
it's obviously Carla that did it. And they talk about whose fault it was in the first place. And then Rob shouts, "My sister's not going down for this." And Tracy doesn't seem to be that bothered. She's like, "Oh, well."
I think it's quite interesting watching Rob, because the way he's playing it, it almost is like he's convinced himself that it was Peter that did it. But in any case, even though he knows it was him, he's like, "Well, it's all Peter's fault that it's happened."
Yeah,
so
exactly.
He feels justified in blaming Peter for it, even though his reasoning for it isn't completely right.
Yep.
So that episode, he's like trying to make sort of wear down Peter, doesn't he? Because he says, he finds him and he says, "Look, I know that you did it, so does Simon." So he's like trying to make Peter crack, basically.
Yeah.
And luckily, Deirdre is there to pick up the pieces, because Peter's gone to Carla's because he thinks there's still hope, but she's like, "No, get out." And then Deirdre is just like saying, "Look, because he wants to do a runner, doesn't he, at the end of the episode?"
He starts packing his bags up.
Yeah, he's going to go off to Portsmouth again, probably. And Deirdre's like, "No, you're going to look really guilty.
No,
you've got
to
fight."
Portsmouth.
But Rob is there at the banister, listening in to Peter and realising that his little scheme to wear him down is working. So I think he just thinks that if he just prods him a little bit more, or maybe if he convinces him to go, then the police are going to go chasing after him and leave Carla alone.
Yeah.
But obviously he's going to slip up somewhere, isn't he, and get caught.
Oh,
but not for a while, probably.
I hope not. He's such a nice young man.
And then the only other thing we had happen on Wednesday with that story is, like we said earlier, Rita was struggling to write this eulogy for Tina, and Dennis is trying to help her, but not doing an amazing job. And David just says, "I'm just going to make it up as I go along." And he's like,
gives a little speech.
Yeah, she was my best friend and my first love. Was she really his best friend? I thought they
you
were really good friends together.
You have to say that about your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Well, you can say, they were your best friends.
Yeah, that's what you said to me.
Well, I don't know how many friends David's got particularly.
Well,
I
mean, then, it's best of a bad bunch,
isn't
it?
Graham, it's only Kylie, but Kylie was getting a bit jealous earlier on in the week, wasn't she? That she's not getting this attention.
I don't blame her, because it's got a bit beyond the pale now, hasn't it?
Well, maybe this is a reason why Kylie's doing all these little jokey schemes and meddling with Gail, because she wants to
retain her best friend status.
Yeah, and distract David's attention from Tina, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's where that's left now. So I guess on it's not until Monday again, is it? I think.
I thought you said it was on Sunday.
I don't think it's on Sunday. No, I don't know. I might be wrong.
Oh my god!
But yeah, Rob is obviously going to keep trying and pushing and pushing until Peter cracks. But it is going to be the funeral. I don't know whether the funeral is going to be on Monday. But if it is, then I'm sure there'll be some kind of flare up, because that's what happens at funerals, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was that. Feeling violated then. So Faye has noticed on Monday that everyone's stressing out, but Anna still isn't willing to tell her exactly what's happened.
Well, she doesn't realise that Owen's been kicked out and is now trying to worm his way back in again.
Mm.
She thinks it's to do with money troubles.
Yeah, so she decides she wants to get some kind of job.
She wants to get a job at Barlow's Buys to start off with. And when she lies about her age, Tracy calls her a clueless half-wit. Which isn't... It's kind of like The Apprentice, I suppose. And then she asks to be Tim's assistant. Because if you're a clueless half-wit, you should be the assistant of a clueless half-wit.
Well, I guess it'll keep her out of trouble. I don't think Tim necessarily needs an assistant somebody to hold his sponge, but it's a way of giving her a bit of pocket money, I guess.
Yeah.
So she decides that she's going to quit school and get a job with Tim.
Yeah, Tim's like, oh, wait a minute, I never said that you could work during school. Everyone, there was the potential to make this into a massive drama, but they just kind of took it as seriously as you would do if a child came back from school and told you that they'd quit.
Yeah.
Just say, no, go back to school.
It's great that she's trying to earn this money for her family, isn't it? She's actually, rather than just sort of shouting about it and arguing and whatever, she's actually trying to do something about it.
Exactly. Sensibly. Well, she tries to appeal to Owen about the uselessness of various subjects, including maths, and he shows her how important maths is by asking her maths questions that she can't answer. And then Anna tells Owen that she thinks he should come back to live with her
for Faye's sake, pretty much,
to make things seem normal.
Yeah, so Faye's happy with things seeming to be better between Anna and Owen on Wednesday, so she's decided she's going to buy dinner. So she's got her £5 wages, she's going to cook a dinner herself. But she has to spend part of it on an iced bun first. What does she actually get in the end? I don't even remember.
They don't even say what it is she makes.
I can't remember what they did, or not they must have done, but I don't remember, a lasagna or something maybe. Owen didn't turn up.
She asks Anna if they're splitting up, and she also thinks it's because of her drinking, which is hilarious.
It's not sad that she's blaming herself for it.
And she says the tea was supposed to get them back together, so she sulks. And so when Owen comes back, he says, oh, I didn't come because I couldn't stand to be lying to her, so I left. And then I says, well, I think Faye knows anyway. She's twigged it.
Yeah, so it seems like this is an irreconcilable differences at the moment, isn't it? I mean, I can't really see where this is going to go now.
Well, I think Anna sort of hinted, didn't she, that they were going to get back together.
But if Owen's not interested...
Owen is interested. Owen wants to get her back.
But why did he say that he couldn't stand lying then?
Because he had to pretend that he was still with Anna. And he's not, because Anna hasn't forgiven him. But she wants to take him back. She's just not going to yet. That's the impression I've got.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So he's gonna carry on working on her then, I guess. But I think after this stunt that he's pulled at the dinner, Anna's not going to be anymore.
I don't know. I think she should really understand that it probably was hard work to pretend to be a happy family.
I wonder what Faye's going to react when she sees Owen next then. Because we know, I mean, she can get pretty stroppy, can't she?
Probably like, oh, are you supposed to come to my special dinner?
Eh. I don't know. Maybe she'll moan to Tim and then Tim will say something to Owen and...
blah, blah, blah.
Get involved.
Fascinating.
It's going a bit slowly, this storyline now at the moment. Things have been a bit repeated, so I wouldn't mind some kind of change. But where there has been a change is this Andrea storyline, the Beckett beckons, because, like we said earlier, her secret is out. She's got a husband.
Oh no!
But we don't find until the end of Monday's episode, so a little bit. Little spoiler for
Very
5 minutes time.
I'm disappointed in you, Andrea.
I know, because I'd said that I thought that she had another man, didn't you? And you'd hope that she had some kind of sick child that she was looking after. Or
how long has she been in it for, though?
She was in it on Christmas Eve for the first time, I think.
So she has spent. Because her husband. Oh, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, let's go back then. Because. But Andrea and Lloyd are arranging a dinner on Monday night. Lloyd wants to take her out, but she wants to have an early one. And we now know it's because the husband is coming back. Did we find his name? I can't remember.
Neil
the husband. And Todd is like, oh, that means that she's going off of you. And Lloyd says, oh, I'm going to get her tickets to a gig then tonight, because they like going to their gigs together.
And that way she can't refuse
his
advances. So when she comes into the bistro, she wants to order water, but Lloyd tries to make her get a glass of wine. Her excuse is she's got to go to work, but he tries to make her stay for the gig, and she says no. And then Todd comes in, because they'd had a discussion about this, and he'd bet him that she would stay.
Yeah, like pound it. Yeah, Todd was like, oh, she'll never stay, and Lloyd says
that
she would.
So he comes in and he does his normal thing of showing everybody up and being bitchy.
Yeah, trying to act innocent, but dropping people in it.
And Andrea gets annoyed that Lloyd doesn't take her life seriously and asks him to leave her alone. So Lloyd obviously goes and moans at Todd for ruining his evening. And Steve gives Lloyd the advice to leave a message on Andrea's home phone to apologise and say that he wants to talk to her. But we cut to her sitting on the stairs listening to him saying how much he loves her, and she's looking very worried.
Yeah, no, that was the first time we got to see her house, wasn't it? It looked like quite a nice house. What exactly did her husband do? You said he'd been in Nigeria. I can't remember where they said, but I mean they seem to be pretty well off there. Got a nice
little
place. Well,
she works in a hotel, doesn't she? So
yeah,
don't know how much that pays.
No, but, I'm not sure.
She takes the phone off the hook. Well, she unplugs it and then lies about it later and says the phone's on the blink. But she texts Lloyd and says, "I need some time to catch up with work."
And she puts some kisses on it.
Lloyd tells Steve it's all right, everything's going okay, and he's going to ask her to move in with him. But then we get the bombshell of Andrea's husband coming home from 3 months in Nigeria, and she's happy to see him, but she keeps throwing these pensive looks. So we're not quite sure what her feelings are about him at this moment.
Oh, and I think it's quite interesting that he was only there for 3 months.
Yeah, because she's been in it for six.
Yeah, in 3 months ago, I'm sure she was going out with Lloyd, or if not, sort of seriously sniffing around him. I can't remember how long they've been together. Or was she around Steve? I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure that she was giving one or the other advances at that time.
Yeah.
Sort of while he was still around.
She was acting like a free agent.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting that she managed to keep her husband's secret from Steve all the time that they were doing all that studying together in the history course. Because you would have thought that would have come up, because Steve would have told her all about Michelle and the Rovers and everything, and she must have been.
Well, later on, she does give a reason for perhaps why she did this. So, on Wednesday, Lloyd asks Andrea to move in with him, but she freaks out and says... Well, she freaks out and doesn't really want to do it. She says it's not the right time, and they both want different things. And Lloyd really should have known not to ask her this, because Jenna thinks it's a bad idea. Steve's not really too keen on it, and Eileen says she thinks she's going to say no. So when they all meet up together later, so Lloyd can tell them, Jenna's quite happy about the fact that Andrea told her no. Meanwhile, Andrea's been hanging around with her husband and telling him that she's got to go off for work. This is always their excuse, because obviously she works odd hours, so it's not unusual. And they have a bit of an argument about it, and he says he wants to spend time with her, but she says, no, look, I've got to go off to work. So she's then later on, after rejecting Lloyd, she's hanging around in the street and she cries when Neil's phoning her up. She's obviously really confused. She goes back to Lloyd and she tells him that she panicked and her last relationship had moved too fast, and before she knew it, she was there with a dog in a house and married, or she says knotted together, but then she realised that she didn't love him. So obviously this is why she's never mentioned him before, because she wasn't sure of the relationship. It wasn't necessarily fishing for a new relationship, but just prefer not to mention her husband because she didn't know.
So was she talking about her husband then, saying things
obviously
that were moving
she
too
was.
Fast? Okay, I wasn't sure.
But when she says, look, I was in my last relationship, the one I'm in now, moved too fast, and before I knew it, I was knotted together. No.
Yeah, okay.
But she says, look, we'll be brilliant together. You just need to give me some more time, and I love you, and I need to get my head around it.
So do we think that she's being honest there, and like it is only a matter of time before she leaves her husband?
That's what you're supposed to think.
He seemed like a fairly nice bloke, and yeah, he was a bit annoyed that she was having to go off to work, apparently, because after all, he hasn't seen her for 3 months. But
I think there's going to be more to it than just she doesn't like him. I think they're going to have to try to make her more sympathetic. If they want to keep her in the show, they're going to make it so, well, he's abusive or something like that. But if they don't want to keep her in the show, they're going to make it so she's just fickle.
Yeah, we need to have a reason. Because at the beginning, she was a character who was supposed to be, like, perfect for Steve, and then Lloyd came along and a great... But now she's just, like, sneaky.
just seems devious.
Yeah, and I want to like her, so I hope that things end up okay for Andrea and Lloyd, but I'm not completely convinced at the moment. I assume they're going to find out soon. Do you think that Lloyd's like going to go around her house or something and find him there?
Well, he's definitely got the right number, so she's not hiding where she lives, is she?
I guess he could just phone her up and then Neil will answer the phone, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, but it's only a matter of time. What do you think Lloyd would do if he found out? Do you think he'd be able to forgive her? Because I think obviously at first I think he would shut down and sort of say, leave me alone. But if she tries to convince him, look, it's over between me and my husband, but I was serious when I said I just need a bit more time. Do you think that Lloyd would accept that?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm. So he
goes the distance for his girls, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does, sometimes to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know enough about Neil at the moment to know how he would react to Lloyd, but fisticuffs maybe. I kind of enjoyed that this week.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Nice that it finally moved on, because like, yeah, I said, we'd been suspicious about her for a very long time. and then the only other thing that happened this week was
Gail's pen pal,
yeah, because she's got a letter from Michael and she's trying to hide it from Kylie and David, but they're just making fun of her all week about it basically and saying how gullible she is and what's she doing accepting mail from this nut job. Gail is trying to write a letter back to him later on in the episode, trying to make it sound all kind of formal and everything. And
well, she's trying to use fancy words to educate him, which is a bit of a cheat.
and just that's all it was that episode, wasn't it? Kylie and David taking the mickey out of Gail. It's a bit sad, really. What do you think about the whole restorative justice? Do you think Gail's crazy, or is she just being a good person?
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean.
Like, is this a good thing for her to do, to try and get involved, or I mean, it was one thing kind of going to meet him to get so she could say how she felt and sort of be in control and feel empowered by it, but it's another thing like sort of writing back and forth to him.
I think she's gone a bit too far. If it's just a question of being a mentor or something, I think she stepped over the line in a way, but
I think she's a bit lonely and she needs somebody to talk to.
She's isolated in that house with those two who don't understand her and don't take her seriously.
No, and they don't particularly want her there either.
No, they want to get rid of her as soon as they can.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah. I don't think that Gail, at the moment at least, has any kind of romantic feelings towards Michael, but it could certainly develop that way. But yeah, she's just doing... I think she's, yeah, probably has gone a bit too far with writing this letter. But what happened on Wednesday with it? It was just Kylie had written this fake letter back from Gail, hadn't she? Because didn't Gail went go and post her actual letter? But then when Kylie showed David, look at what Gail has written to this bloke. It was a love letter, which is quite funny. And I can't remember some of the things on it.
She said something about you rock or something.
Yeah,
she
that's
said,
right.
We should be together, blah, blah, blah. And David thought it was real for a bit, and then he realised that it was all wind
up. And then when Gail comes in, they're like laughing, and David's like, rock on, Gail.
Yeah. Is this just another example of their little mini in-jokes that they have against her? That she doesn't really understand, but she knows they're laughing at her.
Yeah, I think so. I'm ready for another Platt storyline. As long as Nick doesn't get too heavily involved, but I think he's got his own little boring storyline to be involved in at the moment. So if it's a storyline between Gail, Kylie, David, and then eventually Michael, I think it could be quite good, because I like all the little mischief that Kylie and David get up to. It's quite amusing, although whether it'll go too far, well, I expect it probably will if David's involved. Gonna
too
start
far,
throwing
David.
Peanuts at her again. Yeah, so that was it for Street Talk. Very very short week. It was okay. There's not much to say particularly about it. The blood orange stuff is kind of going at a decent enough pace, and I think it's turned a bit of a corner now that Rob's more in control of the situation. And yeah, the scale stuff is good. Andrea's turned a corner, so it's been a few short episodes, but looking good. I'm looking forward to seeing how they all progress. So let's move quickly on to the next part of the show. Okay, it's character profile time now. This week's character is one that I think everyone who watches Corrie has got an opinion on. She's either good or bad, and I think that she's great. It's Faye. What do you like Faye?
Faye, I take a relief, I think. I don't find her particularly charismatic as an actress. I find
Is that just the character that she plays?
I find the character complex and interesting, but I'm not necessarily likeable, which is a good thing for a soap. You don't need to like everybody.
No, I think she does a good job of being sort of a... It's a grumpy teenager kind of it. You're right, she's got a lot of issues. I mean, she's had a coloured backstory, hasn't she? And I think it's good to show that these children...
Yeah, she can't just
be
a little angel.
No, I think it's good to show that these children that are adopted or fostered and may have these difficult backgrounds don't just transform into model citizens
but
overnight.
But also that they're worth the time and the effort, aren't they? Because poor old Faye, she's been through a lot, but she still loves her family. And she treats Anna like her mum. And she doesn't, you know, there's no drama about, oh, you're not my real mum and stuff, I think.
Oh, no, that's never brought, well...
It's nice that
it's not sometimes has been brought up,
but
I mean...
Yeah, but not as much as you think they could have.
No, it's just, like, blurted out sometimes, isn't it, when she thinks something isn't fair, and her behaviour this week
that's
is...
that's what not a real kid would be like.
Yeah, exactly, and her behaviour this week has showed that she wants to go the distance to bring her family together.
Yeah.
So, quick rundown of Faye. She was born on the 13th of March 2002. Tim Metcalf is obviously her dad, and her mum was called Jenny Butler. But she has a new mother, an adopted mother, Anna Windass. And I don't think she hasn't got any brothers or sisters from Tim and Jenny, but Gary is an adoptive brother for her. And I think he does a great job being an older brother.
Do you think she would consider Izzy and... Katie to be her sisters? It's hard to tell, isn't it? It's really weird.
It is. I mean, it is all a bit
technically
in that
they
family,
kind of are, because if Owen and Anna are living together,
I guess so.
They're common law husband and wife, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that Gary is the best kind of sibling. He knows how to deal with her.
He treats her like he is her big brother.
Yeah,
I say Izzy and Katie don't really treat her like she is their.
No,
they
not
don't
really.
Treat her badly, but they don't. There's no bond between them the same way that there is between Izzy and Katie.
No, and I think that's been something that's kind of made the character of Gary warm to me a little bit over the years, because I'm not a massive fan of the character, but I have liked sort of the scenes that he's shared with Faye and done a big brother role. So Faye first appeared on Coronation Street on the 24th of January 2011. She's been in 242 episodes, I think, so far, and she is played by Ellie Leach. Now, Ellie's first TV role was on a Staples ad. She was it couldn't have been long before she was in Coronation Street. She was a girl with a seemingly bottomless pencil case.
And it
was,
jealous.
Everyone was wanting to borrow all her stuff, and she was reeling off all these amazing pens and pencils that she's got in her pencil case there.
Can only imagine.
And I could kind of tell from that appearance why she got the role of Faye as well, because she seemed a bit like... She seemed quite...
Annoying?
maybe not annoying, but, you know...
What are you talking about?
She seemed quite bossy. Forthright and bossy. Yeah, kind of a bit smug with herself as well.
Not supposed to describe female children as bossy.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's a new campaign, because it's very misogynistic and pushes young girls away from leadership roles. I apologise for calling her bossy.
The leader in having good pencils and pens.
The technical term is bossy boots.
But on the 10th of January 2011, that's when the casting news of Ellie broke. And she's actually, and I'd totally forgotten about this before I did the research for the character profile. She is Brooke Vinson's cousin. Did you remember that? Had you forgotten that?
Of course I don't.
Did you ever
remember
know that? No, I completely honestly forgot.
I vaguely know who Brooke Vinson is.
You know who Brooke Vinson is, but yeah, I remember
I
now.
Know.
I remember now reading that they'd be cousins, but I've forgotten since then, so that's pretty cool. And Brooke had said, I'm chuffed to bits for her. She's made me so happy. We're all thrilled about it, and I can't wait to be with her on set to show her
Nepotism.
Around. There's not really been very many scenes at all between Sophie
no,
and Faye,
I don't imagine
Faye
they
have
actually
there.
See each other very much.
But I guess there was always the potential for it because of Tim and Sally together and Faye and Sophie. I mean, they live next door to each other, but anyway.
It's close enough.
I was also a bit confused when I was doing some research, because when the casting news broke, All the older articles about her call her Ellie Louise Leach, but now she is definitely Ellie Leach everywhere, so I don't know if she's dropped that middle name or...
It's probably easier for an actress, isn't it?
Maybe, I don't know whether it's some stage name thing. I mean, Jack P. Shepherd has got his P in, hasn't he, and everything, which is strange to differentiate him from Jack Shepherd, but anyway.
I'd say Ellie Louise Leach sounds better than Ellie Leach. Ellie Leach sounds like a made-up word. Ellie Leach.
Don't say that, that's me.
Sorry.
But anyway, yeah, she's now Ellie Leach officially. That's her actress name. So in 2011, she was introduced as a potential adoptive child for Anna and Eddie Windass. Wasn't that at the time, wasn't Steve and Becky looking into adoption
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, too much adoption stuff.
Well, they were going together, and I think Steve and Becky are a bit put out that Anna and Eddie, who didn't have the best family life, were actually the more successful
Becky
ones.
Well, it was because Becky had a criminal background and she couldn't adopt.
Yeah, well, she certainly seemed like a troubled child from the start, and she was sort of grumpy and a bit rude and everything, but she slowly warmed to them, although her confidence in them was shaken when she saw them going through her bags in March 2011. But anyway, she was in there living with them by April.
Yeah, she ended up stealing a bag with £500 in it from Fizz and a box of chocolates from the cabin, and she gave them to Anna, kind of a way of ingratiating herself, which didn't go down too well.
No. Later that year, not too long after that, she discovered that her mum had died from a heroin overdose because Eddie had kind of accidentally told her. Eddie took the attitude that it was all a bit too much for him, and he later went on to say that he only went through with this adoption process to make Anna happy, and he didn't want to be a dad again. He didn't have to deal with these issues. He didn't want to have to tell Faye that her mum had died of a heroin overdose, and it kind of, he accidentally blurted it out, I think.
Yeah.
And he was offered a job in Germany, and then when he offered Anna to go with him over there, she was like, no, I'm staying with Faye, because
he didn't really want to be with Faye at all. I think that they changed his character a little bit to get rid of him, because he never seemed to be this kind of guy before.
He didn't seem to be the type that would just up and leave, because I think it was quite quickly him being here and being gone. It was like in the space of a week all this has happened.
Well, it also happened that Faye told Gary that Eddie was hitting Anna, and that didn't help. That gave him a bit more
reason. He's like,
I
don't want to deal with this. Yeah. It is a shame, because I thought that Eddie and Anna were a nice couple together before Anna came along. He was always baking his cakes, and he was a bit useless, but she was like
They were quite a colourful little couple, weren't they?
I preferred them as a couple than Anna and Eddie. Anna and Owen, I think.
I think Anna and Owen more suited to each other, but Eddie was certainly a better soap character than Owen is.
Yeah, because he had the comedy value, didn't he?
So Faye gets adopted officially by Anna in November, but then she finds out that Anna is dating Owen.
Oh, no.
And she's not happy about this, because she thinks that Owen won't like her.
Yeah.
And she ends up getting the role of Mary in the school nativity play that year, but she gets too scared and gives her part to Katie, who then gives birth on the stage.
Yes, this is a soap, ladies and gentlemen. Soap, I always thought that was a little bit vicaratively when that happened.
Yeah,
so that was Faye's first eventful year. And on the internet, it doesn't say very much about what she was getting up to in 2012, but probably the most memorable little storyline at the beginning is when she kills Owen's fish, because she really just wanted to get rid of him, didn't she? She didn't like him. She thought that Anna would sort of be more interested in him than her. What did he do? Was she pour into the pond?
Some chemicals. She just poured it all in there and it died.
Owen thought it was David first.
Yeah, they were
having
a neighbourly feud, and then when he worked out it was her. He slapped her across the legs, and Anna and Owen break up briefly about this. But Owen was mostly upset that she'd killed, not you've ruined a belonging of mine, but like, how could you do that to those poor animals?
Yeah.
Just to get back at me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Faye had the best moral upbringing, did she?
It is quite shocking when children do something that seems so obviously immoral.
Yeah, because I think lots of children... Well, there's not many children that would actually go so far as to do that, because children like animals.
Yeah, it is quite a bad sign when they start to kill
I guess it shows how much she's grown, because I don't think she would do that now, would she? To get back at anyone or anything. Yeah. But yeah, then she started saying, then she started having bullying issues later on in the year. And this girl
it's
called,
a bit political.
Yeah, this girl called Lindsay, who I think I'm right in saying was the granddaughter of the chair of governors, was bullying her. But old Brian Packham, you know, he's not the best head. Like,
no.
Was happy to sweep it under the carpet just for the sake of politics between him and the governor. But then Anna said, right, I'm taking Faye out of school. And Brian was forced to send Lindsay, because obviously Faye is model pupil and ones that getting all the high grades of the school, maybe not, but yeah, anyway, so that was the end of that storyline. But I'd forgotten about this storyline, and the bullying comes back in 2013, doesn't it? But the shoot is on the other foot later on in the year, but we'll get onto that in a minute, because the first major thing that happens in 2013, which is a much bigger year, things ramped up for Faye, was that she got in touch with her father, Tim, who she hadn't seen since she was two. So there was a little internet storyline where she was being kind of suspicious on chat rooms and everything, wasn't she? And Anna and Owen was like,
about.
Trying to stop her. Owen even went so far as to break her computer.
That'll show her.
Yeah, but then Tim threatened to report them to the social services, so they ended up giving up. They kind of reluctantly, because I can't remember, the solicitor or someone said, well, you can't legally stop Faye from seeing Tim, so they unhappily let him into Faye's life.
Yeah, they weren't keen at all.
No, now because she was going through troubled teenager phase at the moment. Although actually, she's not even a teenager. I think she's only 12 at the moment, so it's just like she's maturing early. She decides she wants to go and stay with Tim because she's fed up of living with Anna and Owen. So Anna has to drag her back home from Tim's house one day, and I remember her sort of dragging her across the street and having people there watching, and she was like kicking and screaming. Faye said she hated her, smashes up some photos, and then she told Brian that Anna had been hitting her. So is this something that Faye had experienced in the past between her mum and other boyfriends, maybe? I don't know whether I'm making that up or whether it's something that actually happened, but the fact that she's twice in as many years is using or is lying to say that so-and-so is hitting someone else makes me think that she's maybe witnessed this.
I can't remember what her background is supposed to be. And because Tim buggered off, didn't he?
When she was two. I think when she saw him in 2013, that had been the first time for like 10 years or so.
So
nearly.
It's entirely possible that her mother raised her in a really abusive series of relationships where Faye learned that people hit each other or say that they got hit or.
Yeah. Yeah. And that might have actually happened, but I couldn't find it anywhere. So I don't know. Maybe someone can tell us. But yeah. The police get involved anyway, and Faye realises she's a bit over her head. Anna
whoops.
Anna still reluctantly allows Faye to stay with Tim because she's Anna's always wanted what's best for Faye, and I think it's been quite sad because of the way that Faye's treated her sometimes, because Anna really wanted to be a mum again, and she's only done what's right, or what she believes has been right for Faye, and she sadly had to let her go. But it didn't turn out so well though, because Tim went up to Newcastle for a job and Faye was left alone in the flat for a week. Now it wasn't Tim's fault necessarily, because
he's an idiot.
He'd sent Faye over to Anna's house. He says, right, I'm going up to Newcastle, you go and live with your mum for a week. And she said she did, and then she snuck back, and I can't remember what she was getting up to. Was she like watching DVDs late and stuff and getting tired? I can't remember. We thought at the time that she would end up like setting the flat on fire or something, and nothing quite so shocking happened.
Yeah, we thought this would be a lot more exciting than it turned out to be, I think.
Yeah, but Owen discovered what was going on in the end, I think. I think it was like probably a case of Owen went round there and she's like, oh, Tim's not in at the moment, and he kind of went in. I think she went down to the cabin and she was trying to steal some food or something to feed herself because Tim didn't have any supplies in. But anyway, yeah, it was all sorted out.
It was all right in the end.
Yeah. Owen kind of threatened Tim on his way back, which I kind of felt a bit sorry for him with the time, I think. And Faye went back to live over the road with Anna and... Who was that? Who was Anna with? Anna and Owen again.
Yeah.
Then the last main storyline she had before this Trouble at the Mill one, which she's not really been too involved in, has she?
No, she's been on the periphery of most of it because it's a bit too mature.
It is. It's a bit.
To involve her into.
You're right. It's a little bit too
dodgy.
Yeah, for her. But she had this bullying storyline at the end of last year, and then we had Grace, who I thought was quite a good character at the time, who seemed all sweetness and light to Anna, but actually she was a naughty little girl, and she was encouraging Faye to to throw stones at Mary's camper van. And I think this is a time when we got to see that Faye's not all bad, because I think she could see that what she was doing was wrong, but she was being led astray by this Grace girl. And then it got worse when they forced Simon to dress up, didn't they, in one of Leanne's dresses or something?
There was a lot of stuff on the internet about that as well.
Was there? I can't remember.
Yeah,
saying what?
People saying about her, them dressing her up as him up as a girl and things.
Yeah, to humiliate him.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they got cautioned by the police and no longer friends with Grace. And I was quite sad at the time that was the last that we saw of Grace, because we saw them at the police station,
yeah,
didn't we? We saw Grace being taken away by her mum. And that was it, and she's barely been mentioned again. And it was a shame, because I enjoyed watching Grace, even though she was obviously evil. I mean, it's because I guess we don't see many stories at school, but maybe if there is another story set at school any time for Faye, because they sometimes have stories
them.
Over at Weatherfield Comprehensive, maybe we'll see Grace again. I wouldn't mind that.
She was a good kid. Yeah, she was very evil. I quite liked her being in it, but perhaps a bit too young for it to really get too far into it, because it's hard to make a child a figure of hate and defend your position as a soap.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true, actually, yeah. So, and like we said, she hasn't really done much this year, has she? I mean,
the main Windass storylines have been
No. But, I mean, she's starting to get a bit more involved now, so we'll have to see. So, how do you think that... We kind of mentioned it. You said that you can take her or leave her, but acting-wise, do you think that she's a good actress, even if she plays a character that we're not supposed to like? Because I think she does a pretty decent job at it. She's pretty believable. She's not the best.
Okay. Well,
what do you think?
No, you're making me say horrible things.
Oh, okay.
I just think it just seems like she reads her lines, which is what I would do. I can't criticize.
I think at the moment, though, she does a better job than Simon, say, who we think overacts a little bit, Alex Bain, doesn't he? I think she reads her lines. She's okay. And she's mellowing a bit, but I think the programme makers will want to turn her into a grumpy teenager. And
well, we don't have any characters that age, do we, at the moment? They're
no.
all young adults. We don't really have any teenagers raising hell. I think Sophie was the last one to really cause Sophie and David.
Yeah, mostly David. I mean, Sophie,
all that stuff with her running off to get married and everything is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But
you got to be careful when you're casting like angry teenagers, because Jack P. Shepherd did such an amazing job at being like devil child that most other actors are going to pale in comparison to him.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we did have a character like that. I don't know if Faye would be the right one, but often when we speak about children who have been born who've moved away from the street who would be about that age, we always say, "Oh, it would be great if they came back and they were." Like Bethany, or she's obviously not old enough, but things, you know, we always say things like that. We wish that some characters, teenage ones, would come in.
Mm, yeah. So I was wondering whether we'd see a romance between her and Simon as a possible storyline.
That's just weird to talk about.
Because there's only like a year or so in between them, I think, isn't there? And I mean, if Faye is going to stay in it for a significant amount of time, and I don't particularly see a reason to think that she won't at the moment, they're obviously going to have some kind of romantic storyline with her. And I think at some point, even if they don't stay together properly as a couple, I'm predicting, that's my long-reaching prediction, that she'll have some kind of relationship with Simon when they're old enough.
Well, there's certainly not very many other people to pick from, is there?
No, so unless they bring someone else in. Would you like her when she's gone through this teenage phase? What kind of person would you like her to be?
Phase.
Would you like her to be like a Tracy, of like a scheming, kind of bitchy character, or would you like her to mellow out and be a kind of normal? I mean, is she going to be like Izzy and Katie, a bit bland, but maybe a bit more likable? I don't know.
I think she's going to be more like a kind of Tina character, like a feisty, streetwise kind of.
Yeah.
Because she's obviously had this background and troubled past that gives her motivation to be a bit of a cheek. Because people like Becky and Kylie, they're always a bit feisty and hard, you know, hard to handle, and they've got like the reason behind it, which makes them more sympathetic and gives you room to, gives the writers room to be more sympathetic towards them too. So maybe a bit feisty.
Yeah, I think so. It could go anywhere at the moment, because she's got this past, but she's been mellowing out more. But I think it's only natural for her to be a bit of a
hellraiser.
She'll
either be really, really feisty, or she'll end up being like a goody two-shoes who goes off to university and never hear from her again.
Yeah,
but
that's
she
possible.
Doesn't give me the impression of being a particularly overly bright child.
Well, no, she doesn't seem to be academic. She wanted to leave school to be a window cleaner this week.
She's average at school, I said.
Yeah, I reckon so. Well, there was actually rumours in the paper regarding Faye, which we obviously won't talk about as we're a spoiler-free podcast, but that could be quite interesting if that happened, even if it is a bit of a repeat of the storyline.
Don't talk about it then.
But it seems like the writer's got ideas for her if these rumours are true,
at least.
Yeah,
it's heartening for her too.
Yeah, and yeah. I'd like to see her tackle a challenging storyline.
Make or break, really, because like I said,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure about her acting ability and how it would rank her at the moment, but maybe she's just not been given the right material.
Yeah, she's only 12, and I think you're right. The next few years will be
that's why I don't like talking about it.
She's only 12, and the next few years will be a proving ground for her.
Yeah.
I know that she's not particularly popular among a group of fans because she's a brat, but I quite like her. I think out of all the Windasses and the Armstrongs, Faye's my favourite, I have to say. Because a lot of the others are a bit bland. I mean, like Katie is. Izzy just whinges.
You can't like Izzy the best.
No.
You'd be mad if you did.
Gary's okay, but a little bit bland. Owen, take him or leave him. Or I've liked him more with this storyline. And Debbie Rush is a great actress, but I'm no huge fan of Anna's. Faye piques my interest. I look forward to having more storylines with her in years to come.
I hope you're not disappointed.
Right, so there's Faye. Let us know what you think of her as well. But up next is The Cabin. Right, this is going to be a very short cabin this week. It's only been a few days since we recorded episode 100. Not much has happened. Basically, Coronation Street won an award at the Free Sat Awards on Monday, I think. They got Best Soap. And hooray for them, that's about it. It's nice to see they're still winning awards, and it certainly is going through a good patch at the moment. But apart from that, not much to say, really. It's not exactly the British Soap Awards, but there you go. Every little helps. And I've found a couple of photos, but it didn't seem like many of the cast went along to it. In fact, I can't even remember the actors' names of some of these. We had Brooke Vincent was there. We had, who plays Maddie? Amy?
I don't
something
know.
Or other. And then we got the actors who play Luke and Sharif. Yeah, go on. Do you want to do a little mini fashion?
Well, she's got her hair in like a victory roll and long, like a 50s pin-up girl. I can't see her dress properly, but it's white with purple spots. She looks very, very cool. She's got nice, fresh makeup on.
I think she looks the best.
Yeah.
We've seen before when she was at the Soap Awards.
She is probably gonna. If Maddie becomes a regular character, she's going to be one of the most glamorous cast members.
Yeah.
She's going to rival Eva's
I think you're right. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not they kind of scrub up her character and give her a bit of a Maria-style makeover.
Yeah, because she is a very good-looking young lady.
Yeah. Brooke Vincent,
Brooke Vincent's gone for the smoky eye look, which I don't think really works for her, but she's got her hair pulled back up in a high ponytail, and she's wearing an all-white ensemble consisting of a jacket and a pair of shorts, because it is summer after all. Luke's actor, I'm not even going to bother trying to pretend I know who any of these people are. He's got like a navy or black blazer, a pair of brown trousers, a blue shirt, and a little red bow tie. He looks like a kind of science nerd from the 90s.
He can be the new doctor.
Yeah, and Sharif's actor is wearing a salmon pink two-piece suit with a white shirt open at the neck, and he looks quite dashing.
They all look very happy.
I
think the two guys are just happy to have been invited along to it.
Thanks for inviting me.
I don't mind Sharif particularly, and even Luke, I'm willing to give a bit of a chance, but they're not exactly getting the creme de la creme for the Free Sat Awards.
Oh, they all look very nice. They've made an effort, even though Luke couldn't match up his colours. Maybe he's colourblind.
I don't know. So that's it with the news. Nothing else to say. So let's move on and round off the episode with some feedback.
Feedback time! Wow, we've had a few bits of feedback.
Yeah, thank you very much to everyone who commented and liked our Facebook post over the weekend. So we got loads of likes and lots of comments on there, people giving us their best wishes for the 100th episode. So that was great. We hope you all like that art that Pickle Joe had drawn for us.
Yay!
As well. Very cool. So yeah, thank you for that. And it's always nice to get feedback, but it's especially meant a lot after that episode as well.
A lot of hard work goes into it, so it's nice to know that it is appreciated.
Yeah. Now, going back to some of the things we were talking about a few weeks ago, and that kind of ties into what we've been talking about with child actors in this episode, Shayana emailed us about Simon. Because we'd been saying that we thought that he really needs to grow up. And she says, my husband sometimes watches Cairo with me if he passes through the living room while it's on. Your 99th podcast made me think of two comments he made last week about young Simon. First of which, I wonder if that kid gets made fun of for being such a weanbag on TV. All he does is cry.
Weanbag.
And second, I bet that kid is loving hugging all the ladies on the show right now. I know I would have as at his age.
He's certainly at the right height to find it.
Just bosom height, isn't
it?
Yeah. I do wonder what his peers at school make of him, because he's such a crybaby.
Well, sometimes you hear these horrible stories, don't you, about how children were bullied because they were actors, and you'd think that they'd be like the cream of the crop and everyone would think they were awesome because they were an actor, but actually sometimes you get picked on for...
Yeah, but Alex Bain is quite charismatic when I've seen him like off screen. I think he's probably quite popular at school, and probably he's the sort that could kind of laugh it off as well, couldn't he? He's like, oh, did you see me crying again last night? I can kind of imagine him.
Yeah, you can actually.
Taking that that route. And Gail emailed us today saying, regarding how babyish Simon seems to be, I completely agree with you guys. I thought it was just me. Considering what Simon has been through with his dad and losing Tina, Leanne should be taking the poor kid for some counselling. Maybe that is straightening
out. I think so. I really think they all need counselling on Coronation Street.
Well, you're right. He has been through an awful lot. I mean, even going back to like being caught up in the fire, his mum dying when he was, what, 6, 7?
He's
I don't know
how
many external agencies have been involved. There must have been something. I mean, even if it was through the school, like after what was his mum called? Can't remember. Lucy died. He must have had some kind of counselling or whatever then. But I think they need to give that number a ring again. I think so.
Hopefully they've still got it somewhere.
She also said that Faye also seems babied up. She has to be taken to and from school, and she looks about 13. Why couldn't she do some babysitting? Not Simon, of course. Or get a paper route. Well, now you come to mention it, Gail. Kate is actually getting a job this week, so that ties in nicely with your suggestion.
Yeah.
When our son was 12, he got himself up and off to school each morning. My husband and I were working, and then did a paper route after school. Yeah, so there we go. Maybe this will be, hopefully this is going to be more of the making of Faye, and she'll
back her ideas up.
She doesn't seem as babyish as Simon, to be fair, does she?
Nowhere near.
Simon has really got to get himself sorted out
soon.
Sort
yourself out, Simon.
Yeah.
Gloria wrote us. Is it an email that we got?
Yes. Or Facebook, I don't remember.
She wrote us a message. Congrats, Michael and Gemma, on your 100th episode. My first listen was 85. So glad I discovered your podcast. Looking forward to many more. You add an interesting layer to my favourite soap. You're the icing on the Corrie cake. Oh my god. Many thanks for sharing your thoughts on Corrie happenings and history every Sunday. Cheers from across the pond.
Thank you very much.
Wow, Claire. Icing on the cake. That's the best bit.
Yeah, I hope we're not marzipan though, because I don't really like that.
Oh.
And hello as well to Christina, who's messaged us this week saying she's just found our podcast and absolutely loved it. I cannot believe that I have missed the other 99.
Oh, shucks. The trouble with our podcast is it doesn't half age badly, so don't bother trying to go back to listen to the other 99.
No, you go and listen to episode 90.
Yeah, that's the only one. And we've got the Bill Tammy tribute episode, which is kind of a standard.
Yeah, if you go onto our blog down the right-hand side, there's some links to special episodes, the award shows, the Bill Tammy episode.
Yeah, those are the only ones I
Or I
unless
guess,
you're keeping up with it, it doesn't make sense to listen to old ones.
The only reason, the other reason I can think of is if you've got a particular favourite character, and then you can fast forward to the character profile bits.
Yeah, because they're all listed, aren't they, on the website too?
Yeah, if you go to the character profile section on the blog. So a helpful table there that will help you find those very easily. But yeah, apart from that, don't bother going back and listening to the other ones.
No.
Episode 1, maybe, just to see where we all began.
Oh god, no, it's cringy, isn't it?
It's very cringy.
Hello,
yeah.
Welcome.
We got an email from from Tibor this week, of course, saying, great 100th podcast, love having the guests during the Street Talk segment. I loved having the guests during the Street Talk segment as well. After we finished recording it last week, we were saying about how we should do it again sometime, even if it was like a monthly segment, like a roundup of the month. That'd be cool to get some of the listeners involved. So if anyone's up for a chat, even if a monthly one or as a one-off, let us know, because it's certainly something we'd be considering. In fact, next week, I think, we're going to be doing a rundown of this year so far in Coronation Street, the first 6 months of it. So it could be we could even invite a couple of people onto there. I don't know where we'd be recording it yet, but...
Well, we're doing something on Saturday, aren't we?
What are we doing next Saturday? Oh, is it my birthday thing next Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, if you're free Friday night next week and you want to talk about the first 6 months in Coronation Street, send us a message and we'll see whether we can organise anything. But anyway, on to last week's comments from Tivor.
She says, Owen was really patronising to Anna and horrible, and then decided he could forgive her. All of that and Gary's supportive reaction that gave Anna the push she needed to forgive herself, more or less. What does she need Owen? Why does she need Owen's forgiveness after all the awful things he said to her? He was quite in his right to be upset at what she did, no question there, but obviously those 2 weeks away gave his temper a chance to come to a rolling boil, and he lashed out at Gary and took it all out on him and Anna as well, and really crossed the line.
Yeah, he definitely crossed the line. He was too mean to her last week.
He was.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed. I thought that he might come sort of sniffing
it
back or something.
It was because he kind of gave the impression that he was just sniding at her and sniping and sniping and sniping.
He wanted her to crack.
It kind of made it feel like he was saying, I can do this all year. We can carry on. I can snipe at you for the rest of my life and it'll be fine. He didn't feel like he was going to come to any reconciliation with her at all.
It was a bit of old Owen as well, because when the character was first brought in for the first couple of years, he was mean, and he would like beat people up, or didn't he arrange to get Jim beaten up at one point? And it was this storyline with Phelan really has mellowed him out a bit, and I think being with Anna has as well, so we got to see more of the Owen that I used to hate in this last week. Tina's mother, Tibor says, I don't know if it's bad acting or if they're trying to make it seem she's exaggerating her own grief, because it seems to me she's crying crocodile tears and over-dramatising it.
If you're going to let her off the hook and say she's not a bad actress, I would say, because I don't know what I think, I would say that maybe she's almost playing a role that society expects her to, because she didn't really know Tina. And so she knows she should be upset, and she's shown that she's upset, but deep down inside she kind of can't really understand what she's supposed to be feeling and how she's supposed to be crying. And also she's on edge because she doesn't know any of these people. She can't really be herself around them and grieve.
I just think that she's maybe a character that the producers or whatever hadn't particularly fleshed out much of a backstory for, because it's like, well, she's not been in it for very long. I suppose she'd better be there at the funeral.
Yeah,
let's just have a grieving mother, and then we'll have the funeral, and maybe she'll be off again. Because
if they kind of gave a reason why she was estranged from Tina, or they made it clear that she was estranged, because as it is, it just seems like they're not close.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to justify that in a soap that's about relationships. It kind of seems very weird when everyone else is living in each other's pockets.
Well, she didn't come back for Joe's funeral, if I remember rightly. I think she was supposed to be like too upset for it or something. But yeah,
it seems weird that she would be too upset to go to Joe's funeral, but somehow she's turned up for Tina's and she's
not too upset for that.
Chatting people into doing all the heavy lifting at the service. Oh, I don't want to speak. I didn't really know her. Can you do it?
Yeah. Last week I thought maybe she'd be partly involved in bringing about Rob's downfall, but to be honest, I'll be glad if the funeral's over and then we never see her again.
Yeah, she's not... I don't even know why she's in it.
No. It's because she kind of has to be, I think. And then a quick reminder about Jason as well. This was... Because in the quiz, was it the first question?
One of the early questions was about Jason.
Yeah, his sporting endeavours when he first came into it, and nobody could remember him being a runner. But Tibor pointed out that he was coming back from a run in the early morning when he found Toya in the ginnel after she'd been raped the night before. I do remember that it was him that discovered Toya.
That is why I don't like running by myself at night.
Yes, just in case you find a girl that's been raped.
Yeah, it's awkward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Tibor also apologised in the email for the questions being too hard. But I don't think there were, I mean...
You thought you would get them all. This is what made me laugh. I...
It's really difficult to judge because, I mean, she didn't know who was going to be on it and what kind of background knowledge of the show. So I thought they were great questions. But it certainly made me think really that hard. If we do another quiz,
it made me realise. No, it made me think, yeah, I really shouldn't have been having these asked of me because I wouldn't know. And I am not an expert. And I'm glad I never pretended to be a Coronation Street expert.
Yeah, you've had your cards on the table all the time. You don't know anything.
I just have opinions. I don't even know what the characters' names are half the time because something wrong with my brain.
Yeah. I agree, but we certainly appreciate the questions, and they were
yeah, it was great.
It was quite fun. I'd like to hear from any listeners that might have been playing along at home.
Did you get the answers?
Did you get them all right? Did you get any of them right? Let us know how you scored.
It was a good match.
It was fun. Yeah. Right, that's it for this week's episode. Just a short one. Wow, look at that, an hour and 5 minutes, Eva. That's one of our shortest for a while.
In 4 minutes.
Oh, no, right. So Gemma's got to go and watch the football. Go on.
If you want to email us, you can do so at conversationstreet@gmail.com. You can find us online at conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can leave us a review on iTunes by searching for us, Conversation Street. Same at Facebook. And you can find us on Twitter at conversationstreet.
Yeah.
And that's the end.
That is the end. That's episode 101. No, we called it 100. Oh, I think we'll just call them both.
Yeah, well, we don't have to keep...
101 sounds a bit America. Yeah. Right, yeah, that's it. I think Coronation Street's on kind of normal next week.
Well, it'll be a bumper episode no matter when it's on, won't it?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's just a normal amount of episodes. We'll have to see, but yeah, we're going to be ending there. We're going to be talking in the episode about highlights from the past 6 months of Corrie, the first half of the year. So if you want to be involved in the conversation, let us know, or if you just want to email us and tell us any favourite stories or moments from January to June,
and what also have you enjoyed this what year? You hated, tell us what you hated, because we like a bit of negativity,
moaning
about things. So email that conversationstreet@gmail.com.
And that's we'll see you next time.
Bye.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.